Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Trevor Johnson grew up on a farm in Manitoba. He got his first taste of country music listening to the local AM station while riding around on the tractor. His early love of music included everything from Garth Brooks to AC/DC to Randy Travis. He recorded and released his EP Footsteps in 2013, and now he has a brand new single at country radio called Moonshine. We're going to hear that, plus another sneak peek at a track from the brand new EP coming out in the not-too-far future. My pleasure now to welcome Trevor Johnson. Hey, Trevor.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself this evening?
You know, really good, really good. Really excited to be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you here. You sent me a really nice note a while back now before we set up the interview, so it was great to hear from you and great to know that you're out there listening as well.
Yeah, you know, it's a great show. It's great to have someone like you with such a, you know, such a supporter of us guys getting music out there in the country scene.
Well, I really appreciate that. And as I said, we got a couple of your songs coming up on the show, and both the songs are songs that you wrote by yourself. You do co-writing, but these are examples of songs you wrote on your own, and we'll get into talking about that. But let's go back to the farm in Manitoba you grew up on. I understand your parents were grain farmers and cattle farmers.
Yep. Yeah, they're mixed farmers, and they still live. They still live on the farm. They've slowed down a bit, but it was my dad's grandfather had homesteaded it back in the late 1800s. So there's quite a bit of history there.
Yeah, well, what do you learn from growing up on a farm that maybe people in the city don't? Is there life lessons or just a principle towards life?
I don't know. I guess I can kind of compare it a bit because I have lived in the city a fair bit too after, you know, leaving the farm and going to university and stuff. So I think it's just different. It's a different pace. You know, you're in a small town like that. You know, you really just know everybody and you make a connection with so many people. Whereas if I finally moved in the city, it's pretty easy to not even know who your neighbors are and kind of thing. Not that that's always the case in the city, but it's just different. It's a little bit more intimate, I guess, out in the woods.
Yeah. And I would imagine it's a lot of work growing up on a farm because you're helping out your parents. So a lot of chores involved in that,
Yeah,
the cattle and all that.
There was, absolutely. There was, you know, I really, really enjoyed it though. I really enjoyed the livestock. We had beef cows. We had, you know, a couple milk cows. My dad was milk, and you know, 30 barn cats would swarm around because he's milking the cow for the house kind of thing. And you know, he skimmed off the fat, and we drank that milk and stuff, and picked the eggs from the chicken. So it was a great, you know, place to grow up. You know, you could get some responsibility and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, the station you listened to, as I understand, was 920 on the AM dial, CFRY. So
that
gave you your first introduction to a lot of great country music.
Oh, definitely. Like, it was, like, we were about 45 minutes northwest of Port of Prairie along Lake Manitoba, and that, you know, not a lot of FM out there, but that was fine. We could catch a few AM stations, and that 920 was the main one, and sometimes we get 730 CKDM out of Dauphin, but it's a little bit farther away. So I'm pretty sure there's even some guys on that 920 station that were there when still there broadcasting, you know, as when I was as a kid. I recognize their voices still.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, but yeah, no, I love that. And you talk about AM radio. I mean, growing up, even in Toronto, now we've got some FM country stations. But back in the day, throughout the 80s, AM stations, we had one out of Hamilton and one out of Toronto. But they were AM, and to me it sounds great. I mean, country music, there's a certain authenticity to it when you hear that static. And it just, to me, that's kind of charming, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's really part of it, especially in the 80s and early 90s when, you know, there was those artists like Garth and Randy Travis and Clint Black, you know, those country twangy songs. That was it was great.
Well, that was such a big era, and in fact, Country Weekly, I noticed their latest publication is celebrating 25 years of the class of 1989. And they talk about some of those artists because it was Garth Brooks, Clint
yeah.
Black, Travis Tritt. A lot of them seemed to come out in that period. What a great time of growth for country music.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It was great. That, you know, at the time, you don't really... you know, at the time for me, it was probably just an age-related thing. You didn't really appreciate it as much. You know, probably wasn't until I was in my, you know, late teens, or early 20s, where I looked back and thought, "Wow, that was a big deal." It was a big
yeah.
deal for that. You know, and Alan Jackson, it was just, you know, crazy stuff
yeah.
happening then.
So many great artists who went on to become, you could call them legends, I guess, and have pretty big careers, from Garth to Alan. And bands as well around that time. Loved that period in country music. Now, let's talk about some of your influences then. And off the top, I talked about Garth Brooks, AC/DC, Randy Travis. And I think, according to your bio, we can throw Vanilla Ice in there. Maybe not an influence, but somebody you listen to a lot.
So, you know, as kind of a young teenager, that, you know, he had that one song that was all over the place, and when we traveled to school, it was like a 45-minute bus ride one way, and our bus driver actually had a stereo radio on our bus, so we could put in tapes and whatever and listen to whatever we wanted, and that song played for about a year and a half, I bet. That Vanilla Ice song, Ice Ice Baby, I think it was called.
Yeah, that's the one, exactly. I think we all remember that. If we were
yeah.
around in that era, it kind of, that was his big... claim to fame.
Yes.
And guys like Randy Travis and Colin Ray is another guy too.
Yes,
I understand
Colin
in a talent show, or at least a high school show, you performed his big hit Love Me, which is one of
yeah.
those beautiful ballad songs. What was that experience like, singing it, and the reaction you got to that?
It was you know, I was very nervous because it was my first real, like, okay, everyone's quiet, let's watch him perform. And it was very nervous, but, you know, I'm such a Colin Ray fan and just love his music and the writing and those songs. It's just fantastic. And that was the, you know, first song I really worked hard at to try and learn. And it's
right.
one of those ones that just sort of fits your vocal range too. So it was exciting at the end because it was a pretty positive reaction. I can remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I guess a moment like that when you find the right song and you perform it as well as you obviously did, and you get that reaction, that's sort of a turning point, because I know people can have performances where they get discouraged, but if you've got the opposite kind of experience, that spurred you on to pursue music.
Absolutely, it did. You know, it's like we talked before. You know, it's a people business. It's a supporting type business. You know, you have to have
yeah.
people around you with positive. Positive outlooks and influences and wanting to sort of, you know, give you a pat on the back. You need that to kind of keep going, because there's a lot of bad performances too where you go home and you're kind of like, oh, geez, I should have rehearsed a couple more times or whatever it might be, or
right.
you're just tired or whatever. So it's you need those good things to keep you going.
Oh, no doubt. And yeah, Colin Ray, I mean, he had so many great songs, whether it was up-tempo stuff like
yeah.
That's My Story or his ballad.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, what a great era and what a great voice. And one of my favorites of his was Think I'm on a Roll Here in Little Rock. What a beautiful song.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it's funny you mentioned that. You know, that song, on one of my trips down to Nashville, probably back in 2007-ish kind of thing, maybe 2008, I'd go to these songwriting symposiums, and I don't remember his name, but the guy who wrote that song was presenting. He was just doing a talk on songwriting, and he talked about
right.
that song, and it was just, for me, it was just like, wow, this guy wrote the Colin Ray song. So it really,
yeah.
things like that give you a bit of a kickstart too, because he was just an average Joe guy that got into writing songs, and he was in his 40s when I think that song got recorded, and kind of took him to a different level.
Interesting, yeah. I guess
yeah.
a lot of songwriters and artists are just that one song away, and you
yeah.
don't know which song it'll be, and you know, how it'll come about. That's really cool, Trevor. Now,
yeah.
let's talk about some of the artists that you cover. I noticed at your website you've got a list of songs. I guess when people see you in concert, these are some of the artists they can expect to hear you do songs of.
Yeah.
Lee Bryce, Blake Shelton, and Jason Aldean?
Yeah. You know, Lee Bryce, Woman Like You, you know, I love those. Like, that's such a... it's the writing. I actually get really attracted to the songs that I really like the writing of the song. It might not be, per se, a number one hit that, you know, topped the charts. It's just, I'm intrigued by the people that, you know, the craft in that and the hookiness of the song, and that's a great song. And Jason Aldean, you know, Little Green Tractor, Big Green Tractor, and you know, Honey Bee by Blake Shelton, you know, those songs are so well written, and they got some, you know, some good tempos there for live shows.
Yeah, killer artists, those three, and there are others that I know you cover as well. Lee Bryce, and this was just on The Voice the other night as well. Of course, the song I'm going to mention is I Drive Your Truck, which is a killer song. And there's a female artist on The Voice who did it the other night, and her version was beautiful too. That is, to me, in my mind, it's a modern-day classic.
I totally agree. I heard the first time I heard that song, I was with with my wife, and we weren't quite hearing it very well on the radio, and then it came, you know, and I was listening to it, and I just said to her, I said, this song is huge, like, we gotta go listen to this, find this MP3 and listen to this, because this is such a well-written song, it just captures it perfectly, you know, and then the video they made for it was just killer, the video was great.
Yep. Oh, for sure, and it's one of those songs, I mean, not all of us drive a truck, or maybe know someone who does, like, we can't necessarily relate to the actions that are going in the song that a brother was lost at war, but the emotion is what we relate to, and whether it's a truck we drive or whatever that way we remember somebody, we feel that in that song.
That's right, exactly. And you know, some people, you know, I've been lucky, haven't had to deal with that. You know, they go and they go into the room in their closet and they smell their clothes, and you know, it's kind of like that type of thing. You know.
Yep. Exactly. Love that song. Well, let's turn, Trevor, to your brand new single that went out to country radio not too long ago. It's a song you wrote all by yourself called Moonshine. And before we play the song, what can you tell us about the song and the writing behind it?
Well, Moonshine just was one of those just out of the blue kind of things. A real good friend of mine, actually, we met up at a wedding. He was moving from Ontario to Alberta. And I grew up with him back in Langreese, Manitoba. And he was telling me a story about a friend of his who kind of cooked up some of this stuff. This old guy that cooks up some of the stuff, and then he gave it to these guys, and they kind of, you know, sipped on it around the campfire and stuff. And so he was telling me the story, and he said, that'd be a great country song. And I said, I didn't think much of it. And then he texted me about a month later. He said, have you thought about that, Moonshine? And so he gave me some more information, and just kind of went from there.
And what has been the response so far from people when you played this live at shows or up close and personal with people? What are they thinking about this song?
I get a lot of comments that it kind of takes them back to their sort of, you know, when we talk about growing up in rural and around the farm, you know, bush parties and stuff, and they say it kind of takes them back to that time in their, you know, maybe their teenage times or their out to the wee hours of the night on a Friday or Saturday night around the bonfire kind of thing. So, just a good, a positive response, just sort of a, good easy listening song. It's had some pretty nice feedback on it.
Well, that's great. Let's hear the song now from my guest, Trevor Johnson. This is called Moonshine on In the Country.
We're 8 to 8, 5 days straight. Now it's Friday night, I can't wait to play. Heading now with the rowdy crowd, way out past the edge of town, down a dirt road, far as the can go, deep in the woods. There's an old boy they call Farmer, his arms curling up, bouncing good. Moonshine, passing around that redneck wine, party time, till the cock-a-doodle-doo at sunrise. You can feel it flow down through your bones, there's nothing like a hillbilly high. Bacardi has got those girls showing tats you can't always see. A few shots of goose, a spice of juice, always helps me cut the foot loose. Now the party's started, let's crank it up for some homemade hooch. Moonshine, passing around that redneck wine, party time, killing time. A little escape from the day-to-day grind. No rules, we can be fools. Dipping back one day they prove moonshine.
And that is Moonshine, the brand new single from my guest, Trevor Johnson, who joins me on the line from Manitoba. You can head to his website, trevorjohnsonmusic.com. You'll find a lot of cover songs he does there. There's videos of those, samples of his songs, lots of great information there. A great song. Let's talk about the producer of that. It's somebody that a lot of people in Canada will know, a well-known producer. Talk about working with Johnny.
Oh, it was great. Johnny's Johnny Gasparic with at MCC Recording in Calgary. Him and Dave Temple, just, you know, Johnny's great. He's a positive guy. He knows a ton. Like, this is, you know, Poverty Plains been, you know, as Curtis Gramble, like, he's been in, you know, involved in music, you know, his whole life, his family, and everything. So he's so knowledgeable and so positive, and yet at the same time, I like him because he'll lay it on the line too. He'll just say, look, no, don't like this or whatever. He just, you know,
right.
Very professional, and you know, and that's what I to say, Johnny. That's what I'm paying you for, just to be honest. You know, just to be honest, because my name's on it, your name's on it. Let's just do the best we can.
That makes sense. And I was thinking to myself that a producer's got to walk that line, I'm sure, between being a nice guy, obviously, to, you know, you want to work with them, but at the same time being tough enough or strict enough that he makes sure he gets the best performance.
Oh yeah, you know, and exactly, and for. You know, I've done some studio work, and, you know, did some down in Nashville here and there, and in some Winnipeg. So I, you know, wasn't completely green going, but this is probably the most serious. This is the most serious project I've done, and I just, you know, we're doing some vocals on some stuff, and it's just that, you know, he was kind of maybe worried. Oh, don't want to step on your toes. I said, Johnny, you just doesn't matter. Just hammer me. Do what you got to do to make it great.
For sure, and when you heard back the version of this when it was mixed and all the instruments there, of course, what was that experience like to see the song come from the one you had written on your guitar to the finished product?
Well, you know, it was kind of in stages. You know, we had that, you know, that rusty, you know, that little, you know, guitar vocal track that I sent them, and then I went out to Calgary. We worked on it with the musicians, did the bed tracks. And so I got a version of that first before we went back and really finished it. And even that version was like, I was like, wow, this is going to be good. And then when we did go back, put harmonies on it and then mix it and then add a few, you know, some more guitars here and there. Yeah, it was just fun. It was just a great experience. So in the end, whether, you know, for me, a lot of success was made right there. I was really proud of it, and you know, to pass it around and let people know and stuff. So it's been a real positive experience.
Yeah, that's got to be great. And I understand you're working on some more songs, and you have worked on some more with Johnny. So there is some more material coming up over the next few months or so.
Yep, definitely. We got all the bed tracks there. You know, worked with a great group of musicians. You know, Mike Little on keys, Chad Melchert on the drums, and Russell Broom on guitar, and Chris Byrne on the bass, and those guys, like, if you're in country music, you know who they are. Like, they're big hitters, and so we got that sitting there just to go and, you know, tweak up vocals and harmonies and add some, you know, some banjo here and there and some steel guitar and stuff. So I'm excited to get working on that.
Now, have you had a chance, Trevor, in the time that you've been singing country music, to turn other people on to country music who might have told you at some point or when they said that they love your stuff that they weren't really a country fan before, but they've really gotten into the stuff you're doing? Because I hear that a lot with certain artists.
You know, yeah, I don't have a Probably my sister. she's even been involved in music herself too. You know, she's heavily classically trained on the piano, but this kind of stuff is not what she does. But she's a pop girl, but she's quite impressed and on what's going on. So I think that would probably be one that maybe swayed onto the country dial a bit.
That's a good example. Yeah, I think it's great when some artists can do that, and whether it's Taylor Swift on the bigger stage and so forth, and somebody listens to them, and then they're like, then they get into these other country artists, and
right.
Sometimes they just they don't realize how much they're going to like it till they start listening.
Exactly, even though she's my sister, she's she's one of those family members that might be a tough critic, not type of thing. So yeah, it's good. It's good. Country music is so diverse now, so it's there's lots of different stuff going on. So like, it can basically capture just about anybody out there nowadays.
That's so true. Yeah, there's enough branches of it that somebody who likes pop is going to find something in it. Somebody who likes rock is going to, there's just all those different subcategories, I guess. Now, let's talk about Nashville. It's been such a big part of your life, Trevor, and, in fact, you had made a bunch of trips down there, and then you ended up moving for almost a year back in 2009. So Nashville obviously has had quite an impact on your career.
Yeah, initially, the first trip to Nashville was an absolute whim as a tourist. I was into music, already in Manitoba, but never really thought, okay, we'll go down there. But my wife wanted to go down to Nashville Stars. She loves, that was that show with John Rich on. So we actually got tickets and went down to it and spent 4 days there. And for me, I'm not really into that kind of stuff so much, that sort of big hoopla. But I just sitting in the honky tonks listening to these guys sing songs on Broadway. I just kind of got hooked, kind of got mesmerized, like, wow, this is cool stuff. And it really impacted me. So then I started frequenting more and more and really got more into songwriting and eventually ended up spending some extended time down there. It was great.
And I understand while you were there, you studied, I assume the songs, or maybe you saw some of them perform as well, but you were basically studying songs of hit songwriters to understand what made those songs work.
Yeah, at that point, that was a big focus for me. Was I think I recognized years ago that if you there's a reason why these songs, certain songs, get on the radio, like the quality ones. Not there's quality ones that don't make it there, but the ones that are on there are good songs. And what sets them apart? So I bought books, and Jason Blum is a big songwriter. He's had actually written Colin Ray songs and Britney Spears. Songs and everything, and he's written a whole bunch of books, and I read some of his books and would go to his seminars down there and learn so much just by sitting there, just by osmosis. It just sort of, you learn a lot, and some of it it's hard to apply it all, but you just sort of at your own pace try to get better at it, at the craft. And it was a good experience.
It's amazing what somebody like Jason Blum can teach, and others who have learned the lessons, who write the songs, know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Because there is that, there's the natural talent, obviously, a writer has to have to come up with the idea and get most of it down on paper and so forth. But then there's that craft part that somebody can teach you, sort of how to, just make everything a little better, more commercial, and not in the bad sense, as some people tend to think of that word, but just more commercial, radio-friendly, right?
Yeah. Like, commercial doesn't mean bad. Like, some people hear that and they go, you're doing it for somebody else. Well, no. Like, I don't care who you are. If you're writing a song, like, within, you want other people to want to listen to it, and whether it's on radio or not. So it has to have an appeal to those people. It has to be understandable, and that's why I'm so, guys like Brad Paisley and Kelly Lovelace and Craig Wiseman and those big writers that, It's they've got the science craft down pat, and that's that science part that's sort of the same in those kind of songs that is hard to learn and takes a lot of time.
Exactly, and as you said, you want your songs to be commercial enough, formatted enough, whatever the word is, crafted enough so that the message in it, you know, people enjoy listening to it. And you mentioned Brad and Kelly Lovelace, and I think the song that they wrote together, one of them was the great song from Brad Paisley, He Didn't Have to Be.
Exactly, yeah.
Love that one.
And a true, you know, and a true story, you know, that song is about Kelly. You know, that's a great song.
And there's proof right there that you can take something that happened to you in real life when it's as dramatic. It could be anything that happens, but in that case it was about a stepdad and loving him just like a real father would, and that was just a great thing. And a lot of people can relate to that kind of thing, obviously.
You know, I can still remember where I was sitting the first time I heard that song. I was sitting on a railroad track out in the middle of rural Manitoba when that came on. And it was, honestly, it wasn't CFRI 920. It was 93.1. They have an FM part now to it. And the first time I heard that, I was just like, oh, who is this Paisley guy? You know? <It's> like,
yeah. That's one of those songs that you stop in your tracks and you just...
Yep.
You have to hear it. I love that song. Do you have any duet partners in mind? And as I'm talking, I'll give you a chance to maybe think about it, because sometimes it's not something people have right on their minds, but somebody, Trevor, that you could see yourself and would like to see yourself recording a song with at some point. Maybe it's somebody on the big stage, or it's a great Canadian female country artist.
Female country artist, you know, I've never ever been thought about that or had that asked, but, you know... probably, you know, it's going to, you know, seem like I'm picking the big wig, but, you know, Miranda Lambert, and it's just because I'm into her writing. She's a great songwriter, and you know, that duet she did with Keith Urban, you know, and she can just do it all, and she can stand alone, or it would be Miranda Lambert. And one of her songs, because they're great.
Oh, I know. Great choice. A couple of her songs that come to mind to me are just perfectly written in our modern day classics. The House That Built Me, which goes without saying, and her new song Automatic is such it just captures that great message about technology and things were a little better when life was simpler.
Yeah, exactly. That's just a fantastic song.
I mean, the writing on both those songs is amazing. So, Miranda Lambert, a great choice in her duet with Keith Urban, I think was called We Were Us, and that one really moves. I love it as well.
Go ahead, sorry, Dave.
You go right ahead, Trevor.
I was going to say, don't quote me on this, but for some reason, I think that House That Built Me song has some relationship to the writer of that Colin Ray Little Rock song. I think there's a connection there. I'm gonna research that again. For some reason, it sticks in my head that there's a connection between those.
Check that out. I'll do some checking that as well too. That's really cool. Both songs very well written, very emotional, and great story songs. Let's turn now to a song that we're going to hear that's part of your EP when it is all put together, but right now you've recorded this on its own, and it's called Dandelions. Another one that you wrote by yourself. But what can you tell us about the song?
Well, I live on a little farm. We got 80 acres and, you know, and stuff, got a little pony and things. And I was out mowing my grass. I got, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 acres of grass. It's just too much grass. And we have tons of dandelions in Manitoba. Like, I don't know what it's like in Ontario.
Oh, yeah?
But on the prairies, they're just taking over. And I'm a farmer, so I notice these things. You know, they're choking out the hay fields and everything. So anyways, they're all over my grass. And I was just last summer was driving around thinking, these darn things. And, you know, I'm going to write a song about these things, and that's just kind of where it went. You know, back to previous in our conversation, I thought, how can I write a song about dandelions that someone want to listen to? Of thing, and so this is my stab at it.
That's really cool, and it just, again, shows where the idea pops out of real life, something that bothers you or whatever the situation in this case, and you write a song about it. So let's hear it now. This is a brand new song from Trevor Johnson you're probably hearing for the first time. It's called Dandelions on In the Country.
Hey, baby, get ready. I'm gonna swing on by and pick you up, or your daddy won't be happy. When I pull up in my big jacked up truck, he don't want you out alone with a boy like me. Well, girl, there's no reason for him to worry. Cause all day long, Jack Daniels will make sure we're having fun. As you shake your stuff on my tailgate, we'll be singing along with George Strait. We'll cool things off with a skinny dip down in the water with all them fish. When we lay a blanket down by the riverside, it won't just be you and me, we'll be surrounded by dandelions. Is it a farmer's tent? My skull can, or maybe it's all my tattoos, or how you look at me and my tore up jeans that makes them think that I'm bad news. It might change his mind if he knows we won't be alone. So baby, don't forget to mention that we've got us some chaperones. All day long, Jack Daniels will make sure we're having fun. As you shake your stuff on my tailgate, we'll be singing along with George Strait. We'll cool things off with a skinny dip down in the water with all them fish. When we lay a blanket down by the riverside, it won't just be you and me, we'll be surrounded by dandelions. When the daylight turns to dark, you don't have to worry about where we are, cause that big old moon will be watching down on us. And them fireflies will lead us back to my
Manitoba country artist Trevor Johnson, and that is his song called Dandelions. You'll find his website at trevorjohnsonmusic.com. Lots of information there, videos to watch and songs to listen to. And it's amazing to me that, Trevor, a lot of this started, I guess, in your early 20s when you picked up your dad's guitar, which wasn't in all that great condition at the time.
I was a piano player. I took the piano lessons and classical piano to grade 6 piano or something. And at the university, my dad was a guitar player. My brother was a guitar player, or is a guitar player. And I was at home on Thanksgiving when I was in university, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna learn how to play this thing. That's when I was really getting into country music, Colin Ray and those type of guys, and Garth. So I took it back to university and tried to teach, and basically taught myself to do some chording so I could just accompany while I sang. And it wasn't a very good guitar because the strings were both. At the time, I didn't know. And finally, my dad, I said, my fingers are hurting. He said, well, you know, the strings are about 3/4 of an inch off the fret. You know, maybe that's a bit of exaggeration, but, you know, right. So he says, you got to either do something about that or get a different guitar.
And you ended up buying a guitar from, I guess it's a shop called Mother's Music, Yamaha?
Yeah, Mother's Music. Yeah, I was living in Saskatoon at the time, and, you know, I went down there and took some student loan money and spent $175 or something and bought the cheapest Yamaha they had, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy, this, like, it's just so different. You know, it wasn't an expensive guitar, but it wasn't all dried out sitting in my, you know, in my parents' attic for probably 10 years and everything, and it was like, wow, this is you know, I can actually hit the F and it sounds normal.
What a difference that would make. I was speaking actually with George Gruen of Gruen Guitars in Nashville,
yes,
who I had
George,
met
yeah.
when I was down on my trip a month or so ago. And it was great to talk to him. And, I mean, in his store, he actually said he has nothing there guitar-wise for under $350, but they start there. And then, of
yeah.
course, for the collectors who have extra money, who are, you know, the few and far between it, the really wealthy can, you know, spend up to a couple hundred thousand on collectible
yes.
guitar. I don't know if you'd even want to play it. It's so expensive.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. I've been into George. I actually met George once. Just a short story. My dad owns a Les Paul, a 57 Les Paul, and I took it down there when I lived there to get George to look at it, just to get his opinion on it. So I made it up to the third floor with George in his office. He's a great couple of hours. He's a very interesting guy, and you know he's into the music and guitars and stuff. But you know the guy's a zoologist. Eh? Like he's just
that's right.
That's what he is. But he just his passion for guitars is just you just it's you know it's envious. Eh? He's got so much passion for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the passion and the amount of years he's done it, opening the store in 1970.
Yep.
And when he was on the show, he was talking about Hank Jr. Being an early customer, even before he had the store, and Vince Gill, friendship
yep.
for years, and the list goes on and on and on. But it's so cool. The guitars can range in price, of course, from,
yeah.
as you said, you got a cheaper one there, to crazy amounts of money.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about, Trevor, back in 2010, you won a songwriting contest, so there's a boost of confidence at the time for your abilities to write a song from a radio station, and from that was a prize to go down to Nashville for the CMAs.
Yeah, it was just you know I'd moved to a different town and I was really 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 busy with you know my day job and my wife I wouldn't be anywhere without my wife because she finds things out for me. She gets on the internet and this and that, and she said, you know, there's something at QX104 in Winnipeg, there's a competition. I was like, oh, I don't have time, you know, and she's just like, come on. So I took a song of mine and just took the melody and put different words to it for what they were requiring for the station, and it was fortunate and ended up winning it. So it was great.
That's really cool. And again, if you ever doubt about songwriting or the artistry, when those things happen, that of course makes you want to keep at it and do more. And you recorded an EP. People can also purchase that. I noticed it's on iTunes and through your website called Footsteps. And now that was with the Nashville producer Dick McVeigh. And was that
yep.
done in Nashville as well?
It was like, I say Nashville, yeah, it was. He lives in Hendersonville, but it's basically Nashville. That was done,
sure.
I'd met Dick, so he's a lifer in Nashville. He's been there his whole life, and he's just a fantastic guy. Like, he can tell you stories. He's just great to be around.
And, of course, the new single is called Moonshine. And before we wrap things up here, Trevor, I wanted to ask you what you're looking to accomplish in 2014 when the year wraps up and you look back. What do you hope to have accomplished?
You know, just to get my music out there. I'm a singer-songwriter, so it really means a lot to me when I've been a part of writing it, and then in this, you know, in the studio with Johnny and Dave and creating it. So for me there's a lot of appreciation in that end of it. So just, you know, I get some people to listen to it. You know, I get emails from people that I haven't heard from years, and they're like, wow, you know, didn't know you're, you know, doing, you know, getting to this point, and it's great. I strive for that idea or hook that nobody else has done, or at least in a different way. So it's sort of a bit of a passion of mine for sure, that ready
yeah.
part.
Very cool. Well, the website is trevorjohnsonmusic.com. Trevor's brand new single is called Moonshine. You can call your local country stations, email them, let them know you want to hear that song, so that'll help spread the word and get some attention for the song. Trevor, it's been such a great pleasure finally having you on the show, getting to play the songs and chatting.
Oh, it's great. I appreciate it, Dave, and I appreciate everything you do for Canadian country music. It's guys like you that really, it gives us a voice, you know, gives us a place to get out there. You know, we're not on the top end of the charts, but at least this gives us a chance to be heard.
Well, I appreciate that. It's really nice to hear those kind words. And once again, my guest has been Manitoba country artist Trevor Johnson. I'm Dave Woods, and for more country music interviews, you can head over to inthecountryinterviews.com.